It's Wednesday, 10th of December 2014. This is HPR episode 1658 entitled Cool Stuff Part 2. It is hosted by Curtis Adkins Prompt and is about 20 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to kurtadkins@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is, Prompt talks about some more cool stuff that he has discovered.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hey everyone, this is C-Prompt, North Carolina. Just wanted to pop back in and do a quick episode on some more cool stuff that I found. The first is a website, and it is called todayifoundout.com. This is something that I just love, these little tidbits, information and stuff, how things came about, why we do certain things, where this topic came up. This website is just nothing but that. Couple little examples, just on their featured listing that they have on their front page right now. They have, why do people start smoking tobacco? Might be interested in that, don't know. Mailboxes and Postmaster General, kind of a little history about that kind of thing. How were kamikaze pilots chosen? Who was Humpty Dumpty? And that was actually kind of interesting. Who was Humpty Dumpty? Why don't birds' legs freeze? Might think about penguins getting their feet pretty chilly out there walking around on that snow. So the website is nothing but little tidbits of that. It's a one-page article for that topic. Very, very interesting. Lots of links. And follow-ups on that kind of little tidbits of information. And following up with that, the second thing would be the podcast companion to that website. They put out a weekly podcast. It's about maybe 15 minutes long, sometimes maybe a little less, a little bit more, but it's on a topic just like that. For the Thanksgiving in the U.S., we celebrate Thanksgiving, so there was an episode, the many myths surrounding the pilgrims and Thanksgiving. Very interesting. Some things that I didn't know about, that we often think of the pilgrims and what happened during Thanksgiving didn't really happen. A couple of more episodes that just popped up, the police officers and the color blue. Police officers mostly wear blue. Kind of a little podcast on why, how that came about and why that is, that kind of thing. Another episode that just came out that was really interesting, The Moon on the Horizon. Very interesting. So it was a lot of nice science, kind of history on how we thought the moon was showed to be a different size whenever it was on the horizon than it would be at nighttime. During night, it looks like it's a little bit smaller. It's higher up in the cloud, looks smaller. When it's down on the horizon, it looks like a big, huge moon. People always look at the big moon. Come to find out, they're actually the same size. So our brain are just playing a little trick on us. So a little spoiler there, but whatever. Go listen to it anyway. It's awesome. So those are two great things. Nice companion. They got a website with lots of different tidbits. Information and a podcast that goes along with it. Narrator has a great voice. It's very well produced and everything. It's not real long, 15 minutes, so it's nice little, on my drive to work. It's the first thing I pop into the playlist on the podcatcher. It's the first thing I listen to in the mornings. And it's great. Makes for great conversation. You never know when those little tidbits are going to pop up that you need to just say, hey, you know what? Something about that. The moon isn't necessarily further away at nighttime than it is during the daytime because of this. And you can sound all intellectual and smart and stuff. The third thing is I got a few little command line tips that I found out. And so this first one was a huge time saver. And I really wish I would have known this a long time ago. Maybe I should have, but you know, whatever. It's when you learn, right? So let's just say that you're in the command line, as most people in running Linux would be in. So you're in the command line, you're typing out a long command. Maybe you're CDing into a directory. Maybe you're running a Python command. I don't know. Just you're typing out a long command of some sort. Maybe you're grepping something out. Maybe you're awking or whatever you might want to do, and you need to make an adjustment to it. And you need to make an adjustment way at the beginning of the command, instead of backspacing through all of it and retyping it, or hitting the arrow button and going through each single character. You can actually hold down the control button and then hit the arrows, and it will go through each word by word instead of moving through each letter. And it just makes the adjustment of making the adjustment to the command that you may have typed in incorrectly, or just maybe need to make an adjustment to it for some reason, it makes that so much quicker. I could have used that a long time ago, and I'm glad I found out about it now. So there you go. So control, then arrow, makes going through the command a whole lot easier if you need to make adjustments to it. Another command line tip is the CD space and then the dash or hyphen or whatever you want to call it, the little hyphen. That will take you back to the previous directory that you were just in. So let's say that I CD into var/log to look at some log or something, some type of system log or something, and I need to go back to, and then I CD into my home directory to find a text file or something. And then I want to quickly go back to the var/log file or the var log directory. All I have to do is CD space hyphen, and I actually change directories back into the previous directory that I was in the first time. Does that make sense? So if you're kind of bumping around back and forth between directories and you want to go back and forth between the directories quickly, a CD space dash goes a long way, so you don't have to type in CD/home/user/ and then tab button or whatever to do the auto population. Don't have to worry about all that. CD space dash, right back into it. Third command line tip. This is actually a script that I found. A lot of people I know have two or maybe even more monitors that that they use for their daily use, and I like to move windows around, and I hate using the mouse. So I needed to find a script or some way, keyboard shortcut, that would move the current window that had the focus, the current window that I had that I was working with. And I could click on that and then quickly move it to the other window, or the other monitor, rather. I'm sorry, the other monitor. And I found the script, and I will put a link in the show notes for this script. It's for XFCE, and it uses the XD tool library to move the window from one monitor to the next. And it keeps the window's ratio. So if you don't have it full-sized or you're maxed out or whatever, if you just have it small, like maybe a terminal window or whatnot, take that and it moves it over to the other monitor the same XY coordinates and aspect ratio and everything as it was on the first monitor. So if I have a little terminal window and I need to move it over to the next window, next monitor, back and forth, then all I have to do is it runs this script. And I'll tell you a little caveat. When you go to this link, it actually shows you, you know, the installation. You know, you install XD Tools, and then you get this script. It's this bash script, and pop it into a directory, chmod it to make it executable. And I actually put all these into I got a scripts folder that I use to put all my little scripts in to do little bips and bobs. And I associated a keystroke with that script. And a little note to this. I read all this article and it's real short. It's just, you know, a few lines here and there. So I was reading through this and I was like, great, this sounds exactly what I want. But where is it? But if you scroll down toward the bottom of the page, there's a little button that has a paperclip and it says move-to-next-monitor. Click that. That will download the bash file. Took me probably 10 minutes to figure that out. Maybe that's just me. Whatever, so you don't have to go hunting for it. So download the script, take a look at it, see what it does. It's pretty simple, and there's not really too many lines to it. Like I said, it's great to just, I use it all the time, and I really miss it when I have to go to work and I have to use my Windows computer. I got it associated with F9, so when I hit F9, it moves my current focused window back and forth. And I'm at work and I find myself, you know, hitting F9 on my laptop and nothing's happening. So check it out. And it's actually a great time saver. At least it was for me. The last little thing that I, little cool thing that I found, was a game controller. I wanted to play some old video games like Super Nintendo and Atari, old Atari 86, the old school pixel art games. So you can get the emulator and you can try to use a keyboard, but it just doesn't work very well. It's really meant to be played with a controller. And I fought around trying to figure out how to get this and that and, you know, get my old PS2 game controller working with my USB into my, you know, whatever. So I went looking for an old game controller that was already USB. And I found this one. It is a Hyperkin, I don't know how to pronounce that properly, but the link will be in the show notes. I purchased this controller, not actually from the website, from the manufacturer's website, although you can, and I'll put that link in the show notes. You can purchase it from the manufacturer's website, but there's actually a retro game shop not far from the office where I work. So I just drove down there and purchased it. It was the same price. It was $20, $20 USD, US dollars. But it works fantastic. I plugged it up to my computer, USB, boop, and fired up the Super Nintendo emulator, started the game, and I didn't have to do anything. It just recognized all of it. Recognized the controllers, the A, B, Y, X, all the start, stop, pause, whatever. It recognized all of it, so that was fantastic. And actually I started using it with my Raspberry Pi. I installed Retro Pi on a spare SD card the other day, and plugged it up to the Raspberry Pi running RetroPie for games, and it works like a champ on that as well. Had to do a little bit of configuration and stuff to get that to work, but it does work very well for that. And speaking of the RetroPie, the retro game emulator for the Raspberry Pi, I'll do a show on that in the future. As soon as I get time to break away from all the crazy stuff during the day life. So there you got it. A few little things to check out. Website todayifoundout.com, the Daily Knowledge podcast, the podcast that's the companion to the Today I Found Out website. A few command line tips. Check out the moving window to the monitor script. If you're running XFCE, it works great. It's such a huge time saver. And if you're into retro gaming, check out the Hyperkin Pixel Art controller. Works great, and it's not too expensive. So there you have it. Hope all is well, and thank you for listening thus far, and take care, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.